Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about the contrast now because you're seeing what's taking place. Hopefully now you've seen what's taking place in Syria and Iraq, a couple miles away from Jordan and Israel. And Iran, by the way, is now working, I believe, with the Sunnis. That's all part of their whole crew. And probably Iraq's going to be divided up into three different countries. Now, it looks like that would be the best-case scenario. But the Kurds, Christian Kurds, are in the northern parts of Iraq. So they're right in the center of all these things going on. And you saw that death and mayhem. But look, you know, what is the contrast? Because people say, some Muslims say, that Allah is God, and that Muhammad is his prophet. But we say God is God, and Jesus is the Son of God.
That's right.
And above him, there's none other, and there's no other way to God except through the Son. But let me tell you the contrast. You see the violence now. You see all the horrificness and the hatred towards the human being, the zero value of life that it has, and how defensive it is, and how much retribution is involved, and how there's no mercy, and there's no willing to suffer for their God. As a matter of fact, they actually take up arms in the name of their God. But look at Matthew chapter, I want to read, this is what Jesus said. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this, it's called the Beatitudes. We talk about it quite often, but now you can see the contrast and why it's so important. He says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, now when he or Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down there. Now, Pat and I went there. We actually went to Jerusalem, and we went to Galilee there on Beatitudes. And Pat, did I go to the bottom or were at the top of it? I think you stood at the top and I went stood at the bottom of it. And it's pretty neat because it's a great distance. But the way mountains are designed, and specifically that mountain, that it sounds like a PA system. You could have thousands of people on this mountain of Beatitudes, and Jesus could be talking, and every one of them could hear clearly what he was saying. Remember, we're talking about that? Whispered. I was whispering, and you could hear me. Like, are they coming now because we shouldn't be here? Okay. We had to go. We traveled across the world. We had to go to the Beatitudes. Blessed is he who don't jump over the fence. Anyway, so... And he says, his disciples came to him, this is Jesus, and he began to teach them. This is our God. This is God, by the way. This is Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, and this is how we're supposed to react. Nothing like what you're seeing take place in the Middle East towards Islam and Muhammad and all that. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when you think poor in spirit, it's not it's not about being, it's about I'm bold for God, but I'm open for change. I'm bold for him, but I'm not so self-assured that God can't correct me, teach me, change me. And so when we're talking about that, when you're looking at what you see, the contrast we just showed on the news clips, and we'll have some more probably this week, it's just, it's horrific what's taking place. And you'll actually have a video available to you on the VFN Torch, what these soldiers are doing there. That's not God. That's not God. That's evil. And he says, you know, blessed are those. That's what Jesus said. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I didn't see, I mean, I saw the mourning of the ones who are, lives are being taken. But if I was just serving Muhammad prior to that and bowing down to Allah prior to that and not Jesus, I mean, I'm opening myself up to everything that Islam brings. And when you were talking about, you know, mourning, it's like mourning for what's taking place. And right now, that's why it's important for us to be mourning for the tragedy taking place to these Muslim people in the Middle East, in Iraq and Egypt and Sudan and Syria, and also for the church. And we're talking about, the reports are people are being beheaded because they don't deny their faith in Christ. And then he says, Jesus says, you know, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And you're looking at right now how this, what they're trying to do, they're trying to inherit Syria, the land of Syria. They're trying to inherit the land of Iraq. They're trying to inherit the land of Israel, push Israel into the sea. Mm-hmm. They want all this land. But Jesus said, you're not going to inherit the land by doing it that way, by forcing and anger and violence and murder and kidnapping and beheading and all this horrific things. You want to inherit the land, you're going to have to be meek. You're going to have to be humble. And when you look at the history of America and how it used to deal with nations, that we did not go into a nation to take it over. We would go into a nation to help them out and leave their nation better off than how we did, and just say, here. I believe it was during World War II that I don't think we even took France. We could have took France. I believe we just turned that, let the French take France. Mm-hmm. We just backed off because that was there. Let them do this. Mm-hmm. And if you look at our history, that's what we've done. But these other warlords, and they come in, they want to take that land. They want to take the resources and all this. But we actually repatriated all their gold and the different things in those countries, and they actually entrusted us with their gold. And not no more, but they did. Right. And so it was a different kind of country. It was a different kind of nation that we can get back to. Then Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You think about that, that this is not right. But what is right? I mean, think about it. Are we hungering and thirsting after, you know, are we abiding with the Lord? You know, as we talk about it, iabide.org, Jesus, to find out, what do I need to do? How do I need to respond to this? Do I need to become political? No. Do I need to just pray? Yeah, but you need to have deeds with your prayer. You don't need just to go in your closet and only pray. But when you come out, do what God tells you to do.
Right.
And so that we have to hunger and thirst for what's right. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that happens when we call out for righteousness, and he says, and we've talked about this before, no man cries for righteousness. Hopefully that's a related link on this particular article in the Torch. But understand this, that the first thing you think about is like, I can't cry out for righteousness because I'm not righteous. Mm. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. Maybe, you know, you're part of the problem. But that's awesome. That's what's awesome about God. You can do what I did, what Pat did, what John did, and what others did. I know we could say, I'm sorry, God, you're right. I'm wrong. I've sinned. And I have, this is my lifestyle, this is what I've done, I've been unrighteous in my deeds, in my financial dealings, business dealings, people dealings, or whatever. God, I've sinned, I've fallen short. God, forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I lay it all down at the cross of Jesus. And I follow you as the Lord of my life. That's how you do it. And now, you're made right in God, and you're in right standing with God. So knowing where you came from, you don't talk arrogantly, you talk humbly and meekly. Mm-hmm. And you start telling folks, you know, hey, this is not right. This is my testimony. This is where I came from. And now we're hungering and thirst after righteousness. We're saying to our spouses, we can't live this way in our marriage anymore. We're going to have to make this marriage right. We're starting to say with the man or the woman that we live with, we got to get married or it's over. We start saying to our children, not in this house.
Right.
As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. You start making those decisions like that. And then what you're doing is you're standing up for righteousness. You're crying out for righteousness, and God rewards that. If you do it humbly, if you do it religiously, you're just like this Syrian insurgents coming down. You're no different if you come down and try to do it through physical force instead of through gentle teaching and instruction and definite expectations of how things are going to be in your own home. But can you see the contrast between Jesus? I mean, what he's saying here with what's happening there? Then he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I mean, think about that. Mercy is not giving people what they deserve, right?
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And it's like, hey, I want to show forth some mercy here. You know, those folks are like, you know, take them. I want to see whose neck I need to lay my boot down on top of. Flashback, BP, Guff, I don't know. And so, but we got to be merciful. And right now, are we merciful towards Miriam Ibrahim in Sudan, who just gave birth chained to a floor because she's a Christian? And they're going to hang her. They're going to whip her, beat her 100 times, and then hang her by the neck because she won't deny Jesus Christ as her Lord? Are we merciful by not stepping up and saying, listen, all of these human beings being murdered in northern Iraq, we need to do something now. We don't need to go to a fundraiser.
Right.
We don't need to go play golf. God sees us doing that. You have to understand, God sees us not being concerned about the deaths of others. He sees us not being merciful. And he says, whatever measure of mercy you use and you demonstrate, that's what level will be demonstrated to you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I better get involved. I better just, you know, how can I show forth God's mercy in a situation? And one way is, you know, don't play golf when people die. If you're the one responsible for it, get involved.
That's right. Quickly.
Quickly, very quickly. And then Jesus goes on to say here, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This doesn't mean sinless. This means the motives of your heart. That you're not, you know, call me naive, but people are contemplating all kinds of strategies in their heart continually. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, and it's a real deal. And you have to understand, you're not pure in heart. If you're constantly thinking about yourself and how you can put yourself over on someone or lift up your business over your neighbor's business or your ministry over someone else's, you know, your service towards God to somebody else's service to God, that makes no sense. That you're not pure in heart. And, you know, nobody knows the heart except God. But you can actually lay it down and say, Lord, here's my heart. I want it to be pure. I want my motives to be pure. And quite often what you do is you just take a back seat. You say, you first. You know, you're making sure that you are doing things in a way that you're not elevating yourself in the context of that, but yet you're bold for God. And he says that those that are pure in heart, he says, he promises them, he makes a commitment with them. He says, you'll see God. Then he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And when you look up peacemaker, it's not this, you know, of all the things, you know, take the cross and break it and turn it upside down as a sign of peace. Mm. It is the word in the Greek comes from the word, as Rick Joyner talks about, it's a confronter. You're a confronter. So a peacemaker in the Middle East right now would be somebody that says, stands up on the podium and says, knock it off. You're going to suffer for this. It's going to be, you're going to suffer something. And somebody says, well, that's not peaceful. No, that's very peaceful. You're confronting it. I mean, think about this. Even a stop sign is a confrontation. You don't have to stop. I mean, you'll suffer for not doing it by death or injury or a violation of getting a ticket, but it confronts you. It puts its hand up in a way and just says, stop. A red light confronts you. And without that confrontation or those peacemakers at the intersections, there'd be violence. Mm-hmm. And so, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. We're talking about a contrast between what we're seeing in the name of Allah and Muhammad right now in our news in the Middle East, which we showed you in the beginning of this program. And you can see it for our listeners. Go to the VFN Torch and you'll be able to see it there, including video, what's taking place. But it's parental guidance suggested. But what does Jesus say in the context, the contrast of this non-God, mm-hmm. you know? Jesus says in the Beatitudes, he tells us that it's totally different than what we're seeing. This is not what we're supposed to do. And right now, so understand that the enemy, Satan, would want to get you all riled up where you're going to want to have a physical response, you know, and if you haven't yet heard it or seen it, you got to go to the VFN Torch and listen to Don't Swing. Do not swing. What's happening right now in Syria and Iraq, they're swinging. Because the enemy wants to take the life of those men and women who are created in the image and the likeness of God. He wants to take out their life. He knows if he takes out their life before they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, their eternity is totally separate from God. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to preach the gospel. That's why VFN TV and the daily radio programs going around the world. We want you to know that God loves you. God loves Muslims. And he wants you to know that he has a plan for you through his son, Jesus Christ. And I just pray right now that God would give you a dream and a vision to show and demonstrate himself to you. And you've asked for a sign. You went to Mecca and asked for a sign. I pray that the sign would be that you would see the Son of God and he would truly show you the way to God, who loves you and has a plan for your life. And so then Jesus says this in contrast to what we're seeing here. He says, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. And then he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I'm seeing people right now, you know, try to respond politically to persecution. They try to reason their way. Let me explain to you. And it's like, instead of just going like, hey, I'm blessed, I'm being persecuted. You know, and the definition of persecution is to pursue with harassment or oppressive treatment, especially because of religion, race, or your beliefs. To be, I mean, think about it. You're going through a hard time because you are walking with God. This is what we're called to do. This is our call. We're not called to get the world to treat us better. We're called to win the world to Christ. And they'll treat us better when they know Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't try to change their behavior while they don't know God. We introduce them to God through his son, Jesus Christ, and the Lord changes them through their heart out. That's how it works.
Right.
Would 95% of regular church attenders, according to George Barna, not winning one person to the Lord in their entire lifetime? We've tried politics, we've tried everything, but yet we have not tried to win them to the Lord. It doesn't matter what religion it is, if it's not God through his son, Jesus Christ, it's just man's form of attempt to be able to find God through religion. They're not going to find him. The only way to God is through his son, Jesus Christ, which means if you are a Christian, you have the answer. You need to tell them. It's not a great suggestion. It's the great expectation of God. He says, go into all the world and tell them that I love them. I have a plan for their life, and I will forgive them the good news. And then he goes on to say right here on Beatitudes, Jesus says, you know, that blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people said some things because of us.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to go there, okay?
Let's move on.
But you think about it. I mean, people say that's persecution. You know, when I was a deputy, I'd go to the jail, and I would talk to some of the folks, and I'd say, you know, I'm in here, you know, they say, I'm in here suffering for the Lord. And I was like, no, you actually robbed a bank. That's why you're right in here. You're not suffering for the Lord.
Right.
But if you were preaching and you got arrested for preaching, that would be suffering for the Lord.
Big difference.
But you can preach while you're in the jail. And I know there's probably people watching us right now in jail, and I just want you to know that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Get this Bible out and begin to read it. Begin to abide with God and listen to us every day on CTN, Christian Television Network. And so it's a blessing. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things about you, evil things about you because of me. Jesus is saying this. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, that's how they're going to do you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we need to brace ourselves, because we might want to have a physical response. I mean, your flesh just won't. You carry your flesh all the time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have as much flesh as you used to. Well, maybe you do. And you can't respond. If you want the reward that God has for you, you have to take it. I mean, not take it. I'm not talking about being a doormat. But I'm talking about first begin to preach the gospel. You know, first begin to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The one you profess to know him. And let him know you. Because he's going to say, many people are going to come to me in the last day, and I'm going to tell them, I don't even know you. Even though you did these things, Matthew chapter 7, I don't even know you. Is that going to be a shocker? Know him. Then say, you know what? I'm going to follow God. I'm going to get rightly related to a body of believers, and I'm going to get some wisdom. I'm going to begin to abide with God, and I'm going to go out and begin to tell people. And so how would we respond to persecution? It reminds me when Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, in Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around with us in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in us and work in you. So think about this. It's not to live, it's to die. Mm. God has called us to lay down our lives. And think about how far we've got to go in America, because we won't even lay down the tithe or the offering. Mm. We won't even lay down our time to show up at a gathering up under God's form of government. God's got a form of government. Got a shock for you. Got a surprise for you. And he expects you to follow them, because they got to give an account for your life. And they will impart wisdom to you. They will disciple you. They'll train you up for works of service. And that relationship with them is going to help you in all of your life. But it's not for you to save your life. It's for you to lose your life. It's not for you to pick up your life. It's for you to lay your life down. It's for us to say, you know what? I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to follow God. It's for us, if we are Christians, if we are Christian Kurds in northern Iraq, it's for us to say, doesn't look good in the natural, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to stand for God. If we're in Sudan and all of a sudden they're walking through a mall in Sudan, or they're walking through a community and they're asking people, you know, do you worship Muhammad? Do you worship Allah? Or do you worship God? Do you worship Jesus? And be ready. Brace yourself. Jesus. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Prepare yourself and understand, understand this. If your last breath that you take before you die is denying Jesus Christ as Lord, understand it's not going to be good for you in eternity. Mm-mm. But I got good news for you, that you can make up your mind right now and say, you know what? I am prepared. I am prepared to even lay down my life for the Lord. Secondly, if you didn't even have a gun at your head and you denied Jesus Christ as Lord, by your life, by your fruit, by your lifestyle, it's not going to be good for you either. But you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today. There is a difference between all these false gods and God through his son, Jesus Christ. Find out more how we made Jesus Christ our Lord and met Father God, true God, through his son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Listen, we're coming to a day and time that you've got to know him, and he's got to know you, and you've got to get a perspective of the seasons that we're in. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.